And welcome to the Tales of Alarm Box podcast. This is episode 166. Spotlight on DC Comics, New 52, Future's End, number 12, and probably 13, if we get through it. And I'm Chris Mosby.
And I am Caleb Gerard. Nice introduction there, Mr. Mosby.
Yeah, what can I say? You know. And our good pal Murray is taking part in the grand old-fashioned tradition of Canadian Thanksgiving right now. So, and for some reason, they have it a month early over there in Canada land.
A month early? It's like a month and a half early.
A month and a half early? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is just the 12th. So, but yeah. Anyway, we're here to talk about new 52 stuff.
What do they do for Canadian Thanksgiving?
I don't know.
Do they eat turkey? Do they eat stuffing?
Canadian bacon.
Canadian bacon. Absolutely. Good call.
That's just a guess on my part. So.
Canadian bacon and poutine and...
Yes, exactly.
And warm beer.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Sounds bad. Who's here to argue with us?
Exactly. No one. I'm sure we'll hear about it later.
Oh, maybe not.
Maybe. We'll see.
They are.
All right. Well.
They're easygoing people.
Yes, they are. That's one country I'd like to visit.
Canada?
Yeah, Canadian land.
Well, you
it's
know
like a theme park.
There. You know people there, so you could.
Yeah, exactly.
See, that's cool. The internet. Okay.
Yeah. Aside,
just haul aside, but Facebook, all this comic book crap. Honestly, if I were to end up in that part of the world, I'd be like, you know what? I'd probably have a bed to sleep in if I were.
Yeah.
Out.
Exactly. That's what's cool about it. You know, through comics and through the. Networking I've done in my field, it's the same thing. I know people all over the place, so all over the country, and yep. So yeah, it's a good deal.
Speaking of your field, it's Patch Week this week.
You know, I don't have to mess with that anymore.
I know, you're a dick.
That's another benefit of my new job, besides that I work from home.
Yes. And you're doubly dickish, but that's okay.
Oh, well, you know. Yeah, I got the email about it, and I'm like, oh, well, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Yeah, okay.
Ignore.
Yeah, I'm setting up VM labs most of the day, is what I do.
That's cool, actually.
Yeah, I'm having fun with it, because I got to set up labs to test things that before I do them on client sites, and I got a big R2 upgrade for one client. Next week, and another one in November, and so yeah, big fun stuff. Things that I should have been doing years ago.
Which are you using the Microsoft stuff or?
Yeah, it's Microsoft. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the same product I've always been working with. I just I'm at the high level instead of in the trenches.
Cool.
Basically, right. Yeah, it's great.
Microsoft Talk, brought to you by...
Yes, exactly.
I'm just curious, because I have a lot of VM stuff in my life, so...
Yeah. Yeah, but. I bought a machine years ago, and I'm finally actually getting to use it. I've been using it as a media server, but I've got, like, a whole network on it, and two or three config manager servers on there, and good stuff. Fun. Tightening my skills back up that have gone... Lax. All right, now, okay, back to comics.
All
back
right.
To comics.
Whatever, comic books.
Okay, we're starting out with New 52 Futures End number 12. And on the cover, we have a Hawkman and with a mace. Or is that a flail? I always forget. It's a big...
I'm going to go with mace. He uses a mace.
Yeah, it's a big... It's a stick with a ball and spikes coming out the ball on the end. I think a flail has a chain. If I'm not mistaken. Anyway, that's what happens when you play D&D a lot. That stuff actually matters. Because, you know, 1d6 or 1d8. Anyway, almost all over the place today. So you see a bunch of robots getting their bolts kicked. by Frankenstein's in the background with his sword. Everybody's got melee weapons here. Amethyst, she's got a sword and she's slicing them too. So that's what we got. Oh, wait. Wrong.
And it looks like in the background that would be Engineer.
Oh, yeah, I missed her. And you can't see it in this picture, but you will on the next page. Those guys are... Who does the art on this? I always liked this guy. Forget who it is. Anyway, on with it.
It would be Marino.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
N-O, inked by, I think, Dan Green.
Yeah. Yeah, I reread this one right before the podcast, and I didn't remember reading it, so maybe I accidentally skipped it. So anyway, you got very regally standing there, Frankenstein. You got Hawkman and Amethyst standing there, and I think after the last issue, they crashed on a planet, I believe.
Yes, they did.
And
big satellite dish that they were
doing. Oh, that's right, yeah. Okay, I remember now. Yeah, I think I skipped this issue the first time around, so I'm kind of glad I looked at it. But anyway, because I didn't remember any of it. But the next issue I looked through, yeah, I did. Anyway, so they're standing there right after the crash, and they're all, you know, they're in their superhero poses with their weapons. They're
superhero posy, aren't they?
Yeah, just a little. I didn't like how their figures kind of go over the panel. That's a kind of a nice touch there. And Amethyst says, where the hell are we? So then you got the robots come up, and the first thing I notice is they got that Brainiac symbol on them.
Yes, they do.
That's not good. That's always good. Anyway, you hear the robots talking, and Frankenstein says, I'll paraphrase here. He, let's try the diplomatic approach. I'm sure he did it with a much gravelier voice than me, since he's like mostly dead.
He's mostly dead.
And Amethyst comments on the fact that Hawkman in the background. He says he's never been much of a diplomat, which that's true. He's kind of he's an alpha male. Amethyst agrees with him, and Frankenstein says, we should try. This is their planet, and whatever. And they get close enough, and the robot says, proceed with cradle cleaning, eradicate all life forms, or if you're a Doctor Who fan, exterminate, and starts shooting at him, knocks him down, Frankenstein, he's smoking, his chest is smoking, and says, can we just beat them up now? And then you go to the next page, and it's a full two-page spread. Very, very cool page, I might add. And there's some, Ben Grimm would say, it's clobbering time.
There is some serious clobbering going on there.
Yeah, and I actually like his outfit. Hawkman's outfit for the first time since the New 52 started. Not sure why. It looks better than the last time I saw it, anyway. So, anyway.
Things are really nice. I think that this
page... Yeah, they're fully unfloraled there.
Yes.
Now his mace is glowing as well.
Which it's done in many versions. Remember the Hawk Girl in Justice League.
Yeah, that's true. I just never noticed that before. Oh, Amethyst has a dagger and a sword. She's stabbing one, and they're getting shot at, and they're getting a business. This is a good line. Yes, Amethyst, I do believe a good beating is in order. And then they're fighting away, and they're kind of talking back. Oh, sorry. We're reminded once again that Amethyst has no magic powers because her world was destroyed. And because Hawkman said, hey, why don't you just whammy him with the magic stuff and so on and so forth. And Frankenstein is noticing their evil taint now that he's closer. Hello. Huh?
Hello.
Yeah, sorry. So he's busting them up with some Frankenstein vengeance.
He's going all Bane on them in the last
panel. He broke him back. He gets slashed on the face. And he's, how dare you draw your blade on me, you devil contraption? And, you know, they're getting kind of together. And in the midst of it, they recognize that Frankenstein is bleeding human blood.
Yeah, but note, real quick, and this is just me being nitpicky, but he got besorged earlier on in the issue, and his outfit was smoking and stuff. But in this last panel here, his shirt is 100%.
Yes, it's true. It's true. This is the one of the things that my father has done to me as well, is watching TV and you see a car chase and the hubcap flies off, and the next minute it's back.
And the hubcap is back.
Yeah, see that? So, you know, I don't know how many television shows and movies that's ruined. Noticing that thing, that kind of
that's
stuff.
That's probably why on Dukes of Hazzard they had no hubcap.
Exactly. So, anyway... he's bleeding all of a sudden, which is kind of odd for a zombie. depending on your zombie, I guess. And Amos would say, hey, you know, guys, and then at a kind of a weird angle, you got to kind of tilt your head to see it. There's seems to be the engineer standing up there.
It's so funny. I was actually tilting my head.
Yeah, I did too. I was like, eh. Frankenstein says, hey, you know... You know, he talks a lot prettier, but I'm, you know, we're getting through this. Hey, isn't that the engineer up there? And Hawkman says, yeah, it is. And so the engineer is talking, and she's got this thing over her face with the Brainiac symbol on it. For those of you who don't know, that's like a triangle without a bottom, two dots.
Three dots,
yeah. And they borrowed that from the animated series, I think. Didn't
I wonder if that was the first place.
I think it was, but I could be wrong.
All right.
Because it ended up in Legion at one point, one of the reboots. And yep.
When he was Brainiac 5.1.
Yeah, he had it on his head.
Yeah.
Okay, oh. Yeah.
No, that's good. I'm John
curious.
Paging John Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he would know. So she's talking to the robot and says, why aren't these infiltrators contained? You have failed your primary programming. New command, self-destruct, and prepare for recycling. And it just blows up right next to her. And they're like, holy crap. Hey, yo, hey, it's me, Hawkman says. And then she spouts out some binary. And if for those that you don't know, that's 10110, that, you know, like that. Anyway, so they get besorched. With some crap that comes out of her mouth, some tentacle-type items that come out of her mouth and wrap around them. That's kind of creepy.
Well, that was part of, I mean, if you're going back.
Oh, that's right. That was her shtick, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't out of her mouth. But, yeah, she did send out little feely-dealies when she was interfacing with their ship.
Yeah, that's kind of an odd choice, but, you know, whatever. And then you see a little black thing at the bottom and, you know, ShadeNet now offline. So they're unconscious. And, oh, by the way, this is 5 years from now.
And just a quick reminder, it's because Shade was watching them from afar. Father Time and company were keeping tabs on them. So.
Yes, they were using him as a reality cam. So.
Yes.
So now we're in Baltimore, Maryland. And one of those... I don't remember this character very much from the rest of the series. So, but anyway, we got this chick with kind of a lazy mohawk with all kinds of earrings and nose rings, and I'm sure there's other rings we don't want to talk about.
And Mercy, by the way.
Mercy, that's right. Her stage name or code name, anyway.
That's right.
She's, you know what I do to you, and it's then you see Faraday. He's talking, man. Yeah, she's got the whole Road Warrior spiky shoulder look going on there, all nice and leather, which, you know, some people like that thing. Anyway, and he's like, all I've ever done is try to help, and she's saying, bull. You're just trying to figure out how I can do what I do and dissect me on your island. And he says, if we knew how you do it, perhaps we could take steps to rectify it. Or do you want to go through the rest of your life as an ambulatory toxic waste site? Interesting.
She has her power. Her power is explained. I don't think it's been explained yet, but it does come up in actually one of the later issues. So, anyhow.
I need to read some of these again. She asked about Voodoo. She and the twins were still alive. He said, Voodoo, yes, I'm not sure about the twins. And then he mentions her past, calls her Courtney, and she don't like that. My name is Mercy. Anyway, so she was upset about that.
That panel looks very Burnish or Jurgens.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. So they're arguing back and forth. He's like, your name's Courtney. And she's like, how long have you been spying on me? And she's, you know, got the... almost looking butchy because she's got a buzz cut with the hair over her eye and eyebrow piercings even.
Kind of duty, yeah.
Yeah. And he's basically saying that people with superpowers are victims. Don't call me that, a victim, back and forth. This really didn't interest me too much, so I'm trying to get through it here. Basically, she asked him, are you just pissed off because you didn't get any superpowers? And he said, yes. And he's like, so basically the deal is he's saying all the crap he's doing, he's trying to get rid of everybody's superpowers. And he's going to do it whether everybody liked it or not. Reminds her that she's a marked woman as well as the people that she is with. And he's like, why do you care? If you have to ask, then I've wasted my time. She asked about Deathstroke, or is he Terminator? He's Deathstroke, that's right.
It's Deathstroke, same difference. Yeah,
good old Slade, and he taps his ear and says, part her hair, and a shot comes through, and a couple of hairs get, you know, and she's like, you enjoyed that? And he said, just a little, and she throws crap at him, which, you know, I don't know what that was, but anyway. Wow, stay away! Sir. And he's got a big old smirky grin on his face. And then the next thing you know, she's talking to Voodoo. Voodoo's already found out about the guy that just left. Voodoo calls him Uncle Faraday, which makes it think like that they might be related, her and Faraday.
They are.
Okay, that's what I thought. Is his daughter then? I guess it is.
No, uncle.
Actually, uncle. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. She said, why'd it take so long for you to reach out? Everything is compromised. Didn't want to show up until, you know, it's too late. And they're going to have a meet. And now we're back to, we're in Camden, New Jersey now. God, I'm in New Jersey. How terrible. just kidding, people. Anyway, all the one listener in New Jersey is now offended. And the kid... that was helping Cole, and he blew the head off of the alien, yep. Which he's got a real cute shirt on that says, I'm the real me. It's kind of cool, funny. So anyway, guy she used to work for is trying to kill her. They're talking back and forth. Hey, you know, it's Faraday. Might be, you know, something's going on. Might be the guy that killed and or, you know, kidnapped him or whatever, why he's missing. So anyway, she's trying to talk to somebody, and apparently the guy says, hold on a minute, I gotta go kick somebody's ass real quick. And yeah, it's kind of those panels were just kind of weird. Anyway, I'm not sure what that has to do with anything, but okay, now we're in Metropolis, and we remember back that the Rampage chick got some smart ass kid out of jail. Apparently he's a freaking genius, and she knows of him from when she was a scientist. Her experiments made her in a rampage and made her dumb, well, not as smart, I'll put it that way.
And her clothes are amazingly resilient.
Yes, exactly. She's got the same brand of clothes that the Hulk wears.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, everything's still covered.
They're not quite unstable molecules, but
maybe the chains help keep him on.
Chains. How is that working on the bottoms? Now, you know what? Again, it's just like the torn shirt or the hubcaps.
Yes. it's a cost. So anyway, he's not really paying much attention. Apparently he's getting dirty texts from some chick. At least that's what he says. Knowing him, that's probably not what's really going on. She's getting pissed off. Say, hey, I got you out, fixed my stuff. And she eventually smashes his phone. Hopefully he had insurance on it. Oh, it's probably a new iPhone. That's, those things bend, I hear.
Don't bend back.
Yeah. Which, oh, it'd be a Terrifitech phone, more than likely. Anyway, so he's hooking stuff up. He's going to get more background. You came to me. I'm a genius, blah, blah, blah. And she's going to do... apparently, she absorbs solar radiation, which is why she can whoop up on Superman so well, which they don't know that Superman... That hasn't been... Oh, wait. Has that been... Oh, wait. Now, that's a spoiler. That's not till issue 17.
So, what happens in issue 17?
We find out who the masked Superman is. I finally read it.
Right.
You know, and of all of the people that it could have been, I did not think of the one it ended up being. But anyway, we move along and come to find out he's tricked her and he's going to make her more powerful. And then there's a big explosion as he walks away. That sounds about right. Now we're into the...
Hold on, let me catch up. You're going too fast for me.
I'm sorry.
All right. Okay, I'm good. 35 years from now.
Okay, yes. The one of the creepiest things I've ever seen in a while. We are in Arkham Asylum, and there's a floaty globy thing forcing the Joker to eat through a tube. And it's just nasty. He wants to die. And then you see the light open in his cell. And then there's the second most creepiest thing I've seen in a while is Black Canary's face is plastered onto Frankenstein. Frankenstein's there. It looks like Gorilla Grodd and maybe Lobo.
Yep.
Sitting there. The original Lobo.
And I don't think Gorilla Grodd. I think it's the Golden Gorilla from...
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
What's his name? Congo Bill?
Yeah, that's it. Freedom Beast or whatever?
That's
somebody else completely.
It was Wannabes. No, Congo Bill, he was the...
Yes.
They were in Justice League when James Robinson was writing it?
Yes, I remember. That was a good storyline, actually. I liked it. And you notice that Frankenstein still has Hawkman's arm at this point.
Yep.
So, yeah, the Joker ain't looking so good. I mean, he never did look... He wasn't never a fashion plate, but he's got, like, skin and bones. And Frankenstein pretty much tells him, you're gonna... You can't die because Brother I has a plan for you. And they take him up. He's got him all hooked up Hannibal style, Hannibal Lecter style. And I think that's Two-Face laying over there in the corner. I'm not really sure.
Looks like it.
And he's muttering to himself. He's going to die on a slab, cold slab, just like the old days. And they take him into a room, and you see Batman is hyped up to a table. He's lost an arm, and he's hooked up to cables. And then Joker sees him, and is like, oh. And they lock eyes, and Joker starts laughing.
Yes, he does.
And yeah, his cackle. I imagine Mark Hamill laugh in my head right now.
Good choice.
So, all right, next.
Okay, give me just a moment here.
Okay, that's fine. I was kind of barreling through it, wasn't I?
Ah, that's cool. Let me just come here. So then we move on to issue number 13, which here 12, 13. Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
That's good. That's
I'm all of it. That's okay. Hold on. And loading. And we have a cover which shows. This is, by the way, this is also number 13. Future's End, New 52. We have someone kicking us in the face. Actually, kicking somebody with a gun in the face. And in the background, there's a poster of. It says, Remember the Fallen, and you see Red Robin and Wonder Girl.
Very subtle, wasn't it?
And the top of Raven's head, and it looks like Beast Boy, and I don't know who that...
Might be Kid Flash. Oh, maybe it's that Storm Guard kid. Maybe he was in the Titans at that point.
I guess. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Anyhow, so... I think that I am assuming that's Beast Boy, Changeling, whatever. But in any case, and I'm gonna guess this is the Tim Drake Cal character on the cover who's kicking everyone's butt.
Yep.
In the rain.
Mm-hmm. It's a very good cover. That's Ryan Sook, isn't it?
It is, in fact, Ryan Sook. Ryan Sook, yeah, and there's his girlfriend's necklace that he's out to get back.
Yep. We find out about that shortly.
Yes, we do. And this, of course, is a Azzarello, Giffen, Juergens, Lemire written issue, and Zurcher and Hi-Fi are doing the art this time. Mm. And the issue opens up 5 years from now, New York City, the Wounded Duck Bar, where we've had many a meeting of the ones invading Terrifatech. And there's a man with a beard and a hood, all dripping wet, holding a gun, pointing out, give me everything you got. The hell now, or so help. Give me that right now, the hell now, and so help me God, I will splatter your brains all over the wall.
Yeah. Nice guy.
Yeah. Awesome. And we are in the Wounded Duck, and we see Tim Drake slash Cal with his girlfriend, whose name I can't remember. And Drake is all, easy friend, no one needs to get hurt here. And the guy shoots bottle behind Cal, Tim Drake, whatever. And
now, but did he purposely miss or did Cal duck? That's the question.
Hard to say. Mm-hmm. Hard to say, but I would think that it's Tim Drake, so he probably ducked under it.
Yep.
And so Drake, he throws all his cash in the bar to give it to him, and then the meanie guy, the Joe Chill guy, he steals. He steals Cal's girlfriend's necklace, and her name's Maddie. And so Cal comes up to the bar to stop her, and he's like, okay, good, everything's fine, we're not hurt.
She's a tad whiny for me.
Yes. She's a tad whiny, and she reminds him that Lois Lane accused him of being Red Robin, and he's like, nah, don't worry about it, don't worry about the necklace, I'll get you a new one, and he promises, and we switch to Terrifatech, which looks like the Ironside building in New York City a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Michael Holt is standing at a window looking out over the being rebuilt town, and he's got somebody in bed with him. God, that's a cool-looking apartment.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's good to be the king.
Clearly. And he is... let me see. How could you, Michael? After all we've been through, Marlene, you know I've been championing for the people's the rights of people from both worlds. Then why stir up hate? Why label your new Batman an alien?
Yeah, you know, I don't get that either. Anyway, go ahead. Why he did that?
Yeah, well, I'm sure it gets explained. No one fought harder for integration than I have, and true, you've never been. It's basically he's remembering a conversation where he's having to defend his actions with with Marlene.
We assume the girl in bed.
And we assume the girl in bed. And then he walks off. He's still in his tidy whities, and he starts having a conversation with Brother I. Is there something troubling you, Michael? Don't tell me you can intuit my emotions digitally. No, I can't do that. It's just you're usually sleeping at this hour. The question was more of concern rather than a guess. Michael says, I think I may have let my concern compromise my morality. You would not be the first, says Brother I. No, I suppose not, but I'm afraid of this thing. And we pull back and we see the cybernetic version of Plastique.
Mm-hmm.
She's in a tube, sort of like...
Which is, it's kind of ironic that it's Brother I that did that.
Yeah.
The future Brother I.
And he's noting that the technology that's bonded to her is a quantum leap in cybernetic technology. It shouldn't exist.
30 years at least.
It does. And none of its elements are alien. It's all Earthborn.
Now how would he know that?
He's the world's third smartest man.
That's right. Yeah, my bad.
He knows everything. And the mysterious new Batman has something to do with it. Therefore, finding the Batman is paramount. Yeah, I feel blah, blah, blah. I'm not really getting to this scene. I don't know why.
Yeah, I didn't either. They're trying to explain why he did what he did, but they don't get anywhere clearer.
No,
it's to do that.
And we get a shot of his tattoo again, the Fair Play back tattoo that a lot of people had problems with a couple months ago.
Yeah, because that makes me think, because That was our Michael Holt went to Earth 2.
Mm-hmm.
I thought. And he had him on his arms.
He didn't have
fair in play on just like on his upper arm. So now those are gone and it's on his back. So it's like they changed it. And I don't know, but I agree. I don't know. Anyway.
So they continue. This isn't. Then isn't this an instance where your morality takes a backseat to the planet's safety? And Michael's, it's still a burden. Yes, it is the burden of greatness, Michael. And we pull back, and it's the lab. It's actually kind of a cool pulling back. He's a small man in a big thing, and a burden meant for a few trials. And we switch over to Cadmus Island, one of the more interesting storylines going on through this series, by the way.
You know, it's funny. I just think just the opposite.
Oh.
Well, I'll take that back. It's that kid. The kid bugs me. But anyway.
You'll learn to like her, Mom. Chris, I cross my
mind. Okay, all right.
So there's a conversation going on. You're not helping. I never said I was helping. I said I was having fun. Big difference. Am I allowed to ask a question without being tossed into the ocean? Is it a snotty, snarky, sarcastic commentary on something I said or did? And we are now looking at Cole Cash and 50 Sue. And they're on a roof, and looks like the air conditioning duct. And he says nothing, and she says, I thought as much. And he says, remind me again, why are we doing this? Because you were attacked by Stealth Omac, and there are no Stealth Omacs. And besides, you're mine to kill if and when I decide you need killing. Just pretend I'm from Texas. Look, well, there is a social commentary right there.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Look, I don't want to be here any more than you do. In fact, I'm somewhere else right now, too. Oh, that's cool. All right. I wasn't sure I could do that. It's pretty messed up, to be honest. So basically, she's everywhere.
Yeah, well, she's, like, separated herself into two entities, I guess, yeah.
And he says, I'm from Texas, as he's wrenching the cover off the air conditioning duct. Then I should come as no surprise to you. Figure you could make a bit more noise. And who's going to hear? Munker Gnomes. And he looks back at her, and she's smirking at him. And that's a few stories worth of a drop. Didn't bring a rope, did you? And she pushes him down the air conditioning duct. And her eyes glow, and she catches him via telekinesis, I assume?
Yep.
We don't actually see any of him, but she's laughing about the whole thing, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
You should have seen the look on your face.
Little brat.
And we are now two harrowing drops later, which is a great transition.
Yeah. Right. At least it's not three blocks north and five blocks east.
No, this is actually amusing.
Yes.
Two harrowing drops later. Basically, we get the impression that she has pushed him down a couple more shafts and has caught him just as he was about to go flat at the bottom.
That is funny.
Though, again, he's a grifter. That would... No, whatever. So, what are you planning on telling me where we're going? I mean, you can't honestly believe the Earth 2, the E2's warehouse in here had anything to do with, not them, the other ones. Other. Newsflash, Einstein, the superhuman holding cells are about four floors above us. We're in sub-basementville now. And he says, how is it there's no security in here? They're storing superhumans. I find it hard to believe they'd leave such an obvious... Something as obvious as an air vent, pressure-sensitive plating, keyed to motion detectors, keyed to whatever makes noise. Cadmus has got it covered, unless I decide otherwise. So she's omnipotent, basically, as well.
That's what it looks like.
The more we see her, the more we know she can just... She's Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Dr. Manhattan without the...
Or we could call her plot device.
Plot, boy, is she ever. She's... Joni DC from the Ambush Bug series.
There you go.
So they're still exploring. They're exploring. And he's like, what are we looking for? And she's like, check. And I'm paraphrasing, by the way. And she said, points out of the vent. She says, check it out. And we look out, and we see Lana Lang standing next to an OMAC. Lab rats, Cadmus style. What are you picking up? Oh, that's right. Because of his power, he can recognize subterfuge, which is a stupid superpower. What are you picking up from them? Not superhuman normals. They're all Earth E2 normals. I know. Is this awesome or what? And then we're back in New York City. In New York City. It's cold and it's damp. And all the people dress like monkeys. Sorry. Channeling.
Okay.
And Randy Newman, that's who it was. Okay. Back in New York City, it's pouring rain. And
I always think of Billy Joel when I hear the word New York City. New York State of Mind.
New York State of Mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. And we got the guy who robbed the bar earlier.
He's getting his fix from his dealer.
He's trading all that stuff, the money and the stuff he stole from Cal and his girlfriend. And then then they are attacked by Cal, who kicks their butts pretty quickly with a bow staff.
Well,
it's actually just a bar.
It's called Escrimus. He's doing it Nightwing style is what he's doing.
And he's just using, and clearly it's just a piece of piping because it's got at the bottom panel. It's got.
Oh yeah, he just picked it up. Okay, that makes sense.
Anyhow, so he breaks the wrist and he takes the guns and he's basically killing the heck out of them. And he beats them up some more and he tells them to stay down and he whacks the one guy with the piece of piping. And he gets his necklace back. And I guess he leaves the cash, would be my guess.
Yeah. Now see, why isn't he out there fighting crime if he's perfectly capable of doing it? I don't get it. I'm kind of disappointed in him. I don't know. I wasn't almost killed, so I don't know. If I had those skills, I'd be out kicking ass every day just for the fun of it. But that's just me.
He's clearly kept in shape.
Yes.
And then we get the bottom. We get the little key symbol in the dialogue box. It says, "You see this?" And he is pointing at a TV, and it's got a picture of Batman Beyond and the body of the cybernetic
Plastique.
We partnered up with Public Enemy Number One. That's not good. Not good? No, it's not good, Plastique. Not at all. You don't have to yell at her. I don't have to... Am I the only one who gets how serious this is? How serious what is? And we got... And in walks Terry McGinnis. Look, come on in, McGinnis, and bring the cops, capes, and any T-Tech security tailing you too. He likes to yell at Key. Nobody followed me, Key, he says.
He's very up key. Oh, sorry.
Keyed up.
Yeah, not low key at all. Anyway.
Hey, perfect right now. We've only got a few more pages. You should relax. You're too paranoid. You sure? I'm sure, Coyle, says McGinnis, and he's got a remote control. Somehow he found the remote control. I can never find the remote control, and he walks into a strange room and picks up the remote control.
Well, you know, he is highly trained. Not necessarily detective, but...
And basically the local news is claiming that he's an invader from another planet. And
the fact that he has a bat symbol doesn't click to anybody?
No, not in the least bit. And he turns off the TV. Now, can we get down to business? I want to go over the schematics of Terrific Tech again, make sure we're all... There is no we anymore. Your ugly mug is everywhere, says Key. Can't pull the job off with you. You're too hot, says Coyle. Fine, I'll do it myself, says McGinnis. And Plastique is making a paper airplane. It goes kablooey next to McGinnis. She's got the same powers as Gambit now, apparently. And she kablooies him with a paper airplane. He's down. And they're like, yeah. And we switch to the outside in Rue des Denis, Montreal, Canada. This must be pre-Thanksgiving.
Yes, obviously, because there's people all, you know, out and about.
Naughty.
A boot. I mean.
A boot. They're out of boots.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, sorry, Murray.
Yeah, we're just massacring it, man.
No offense to your people.
No, not at all. I have great respect for the Canadians.
Yeah, they put on nice videos. No,
my best friends are Canadians.
They gave us Michael J. Fox, for God's sake.
That's a good reason right there. Oh, don't forget William Shatner.
Or Bill, there you go, or Mike Myers.
Well, I'm not going to count that one.
Oh, ouch. Come on. Austin Powers, Wayne's
World.
Oh,
God, I hate Austin Powers.
Wayne's World?
Wayne's World I liked.
Okay, then. You didn't even like the first Austin Powers. All right, whatever.
I never watched any of those. Not a one. Well, I take that back. I think my friends forced me to watch one because they said, look, just watch it, you'll think it's funny, and I didn't think any of it was funny.
It's and just, yep.
You know, because they do that on, because you watch Saturday Night Live, and they'll take a skit and they'll do it like 5-10 minutes past its funniness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what one of those movies are to me. So anyway.
Absolutely. And it's the same jokes, all three movies. And they're.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Continue.
We got Barda walking around with, I can't remember her name, from the new Green Arrow, anyhow.
I forget what it is, too.
She's just, in the current series, he's training her, and I'm blanking on her name.
Yeah, me too.
Hopefully they don't get rid of her when as new writers come on board.
Yeah, that would be bad. Have they done that yet?
Yes, the first issue's out, and I've already forgotten. That's not good.
I really like. I finally got all of those. I really liked his run on the book. It was really
good. Lemire and Sorrentino on that was awesome.
Yes, it was.
All right, so. So they're walking through Canada. I shouldn't be out like this. Someone will see me. I mean, she's only a 7-foot-tall woman in a skin tight tracksuit. It looks like.
Yeah, I know. She's not being very incommunicado at all.
You are a little hard to miss. I see. Look, I'm just glad you finally agreed to meet me. It's been nearly a month since I first approached you, Barda. I'd almost given up hope. Shh! Don't call me that in public. Look, you need to relax. You're too paranoid. There's lots of paranoid people in this issue. People being called paranoid.
Well, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean somebody isn't out to get you.
What? They're out to get me? Oh, too paranoid. There is no such thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, amigo. Amigo.
That's it, amigo.
Everyone I cared about is gone, so don't tell me Tell me not to be paranoid. You mean the other heroes from your Earth, says amigo? And we get a very cool panel of Mr. Miracle and Big Barda fighting together. I admit, I know very little about the superheroes from your world. Our intel is pretty spotty, but I do know that you didn't come here alone. There were others. I can't take back what happened. Believe me, if I could, but it doesn't matter now. They didn't make it to this earth in the Exodus. Here we go. We get a little exposition on the transition E2 to E1.
Yeah, because at this point, we haven't heard anything about it yet. And nope. World's End just came out this... week.
Yep. Has nothing about it.
But. Yeah, well, they're going to spend probably half of it just building up to it.
It'll take too long. So then we get Barda's in line with a bunch of other people. I was an escort on one of these civilian arcs that made it through. I immediately saw what the war had done to your world, the mistrust, the fear. We were just refugees, but the war made us invaders. She doesn't look like an escort. She looks like she's part of that same line with the rest of those people.
Yeah.
Just brighter clothing. Brighter. And now she's in a concentration camp, a la the Japanese or any Asians during World War II here in the United States. They knew of my power, knew who I was. They'd never let me walk free. So Big Barda had to die too. So they're all in a prison camp and they're orange behind wires. What if I told you the other heroes weren't dead? What if, as says Amigo, what if I told you they did make it and they are being held as prisoners? I saw their gunship destroyed, says Barda, by the Apocalypse fleet. It was atomized. Not even Scott Free could escape that. But what if he did, says Amigo? I'd say you're playing a dangerous game, girl. I'd say that unless you want every bone in your damn body broken, you'll stop, you'll stop with the cryptic crap. And start explaining yourself right now. And I agree with her. And Amigo says, I can do better than that. I can prove it, Barda. I can show you. But first, we have to get to Metropolis. We have to find Lois Lane. Metropolis, impossible. Without an Earth card, we can't get across the border. The man I work for has many resources, says Amico. Leave it to me. And they go into la Boulangerie de la Reine, which is fermé, which I guess means closed. And she opens the door, and behind them is the other 50 Sioux body. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, miss, I lost my daddy. I can't find him anywhere. Have you seen him? And Bart's like, what? What's your name, sweetheart? I'm Susie. Okay, Susie, I'm Amico. We'll find him. Can you show us where you were? And she points, he was right over there. Then I turned around and he was gone. I don't like this, says Barta. It'll only take a minute. Relax, says Amico.
Yeah, not too bright.
And they go following her down a dark alley. Susie, what are you... Boy, you two really are morons, are you? I can't believe you lasted out here this long. And there is Deathstroke. Big Barta, you have a choice. Come peacefully or be terminated.
Oh, they really didn't do that, did they?
They did. And Sue says, gotcha.
So, yeah. That's the end of it. You see some scenes. You see, all kinds of stuff.
You can see Hot Girl in there. We got a Batman Beyond with a gun to his head. We have 50 Sue taking a pot shot at Big Barta.
Mm-hmm. In the face.
In the face. We got 52.
The Earth 2 Red Tornado getting taken apart.
Yeah, that's what that is. And then we've got a 50 Sue is, while she's taking Barta down, she's also taking out a OMAC.
Yeah.
And by the way, this issue that we just went over, again, written by Brian Azzarello, Jeff Lemire, Dan Jurgens, and
exactly.
And on. All the art was done by Patrick Zurcher, which is
I did not read that on the other one. Here, let's do that.
And the cover was, like you noted, was by Visual Ryan Suk.
Yes. Number 12's penciler was Jesus Marino with Dan Green, the same writers. Azzarello, Lemire, Jurgens, and Giffen. They've done an excellent job, I might add. Julie Cavallari is the editor.
Yeah.
All right.
Cavallari.
Yes, sir.
And that is up to that point. It's going in waves. There are some storylines that I could give two hearts about, and there are ones that there are others.
I agree.
And I think that Barta summed it up by saying, "Let's cut the cryptic crap and just get to it."
It's a lot of it
has been subtle hints, and you know what I went through, and in fact those us readers have no clue what you went through.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to future issues, which I've already read, by the way. So
yes, I think I'm a week or two behind at this point.
Catch so, the hell up.
I'm gonna
right. You go for it. No, it's actually been a good couple issues. It gets the latest issue has you think some of the images of Joker getting force fed were wrong.
I'm gonna have to revisit that one.
Yeah, there's I think it's number 23. There's an incredibly disturbing image. So
yes, I think I saw a little bit of that,
which mirrors the Black Canary sewn into Frankenstein's chest.
Yeah, right? That's got to be the number one creepiest thing.
Up to this point.
Yeah, exactly.
It gets creepier.
Yep, that's creepy. Well, okay, well, that's it for this. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm looking forward to this making its run for the next few months and seeing where it leads into this, the next crisis that's coming up. Mm-hmm. But as you've posted frequently now on the message board, Marvel has also got their own Secret Wars revisited coming up, so that'll be interesting as well.
Yes, and they announced today that they are canceling Fantastic Four, and they do not plan on relaunching it. And the article I read speculates that it's due to the rights issue between 20th Century Fox and Marvel. I don't know if anybody's heard about what they're okay, that they're having the Human Torch being played by a black guy, right?
Right.
And apparently Sue's going to be adopted because their father's going to be black.
Okay.
That's how they're going to do that. And they're not going to have superhero-y, quote-unquote, costumes. They don't want any of that, you know, weird, nerdy crap or something like that. It's very very negative about that, the superhero costumes. So.
Yes, because that's gone over so poorly with the Avengers movies.
Yes, it has, exactly. So anyway, shall see how that turns out. I more than likely won't watch it. Don't have any interest in it.
I saw the first one of that last the last boot of Fantastic Four, but I never watched the second one, the Silver Surfer one.
It was not all that great. No, it really wasn't. And Evans is a lot better as Captain America than Human Torch.
Well, we have it. Not to get too right. off.
No, nope, not too off talking. Just a little. Just announced that. Oh, I don't know, maybe a half hour before we started recording, so I thought I'd just mention that, throw that out there. Little news from New York Comic Con. Wish I was there. So anyway, let's wrap this up. As always, you can email us at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think. And you can also join us on Facebook in our eclectic band of comic book geekery and discuss things that... comic book things, you know.
No, not
yeah, that. Exactly. Believe it or not, or you can actually comment on the actual episodes. I've got that locked down from spammers, so you can join in and have a good time. Yeah, that's about it.
All right. Well, enjoying the series. Glad they're keeping on track. Mm-hmm. Joey Cavallari should get kudos. For editing this thing, because he's keeping the trains on time.
I have to agree. He is.
You know, art issues. You know, little persnickety art issues aside, it's actually been a good run, and they've had some good art on it as well.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, I'm done.
Okay, that's it, and we're out.